I think, one of the most exciting, incredible chapters in the Bible. And it is important to remember the story of Ezra, and I won't be too detailed, but you remember that God told the king, and the king told Israel, the Israelites, go back and build the temple. So do we know God's will for these people? Yes. And did even the king, do we know that the king decreed, do it? Yes. Gave them the materials, sent them off, they went to Jerusalem. Then the enemy came along, and the enemy said, what do you think you're doing? And stopped them. They stopped. At the end of chapter 4, and if you look at the very end of that chapter in verse 24, then ceased the work, oh, don't forget, of the house of God. Then ceased the work of the house of God. It's God's house, it's God's will, it's God's decree. God had made the provision, but they stopped. What can stop us? Well, that's a long list. What should stop us? Nothing except the Lord's change. If the Lord says don't, then we don't. If the Lord says do, we do. Yep. So they stopped. Then, did God immediately remove the enemy from the situation? No. What did God do? He sent the prophets. And the prophets came to them, and the prophets didn't tell them, ignore the enemy. The prophets said, what are you doing? God said, build. Why aren't you building? You know, they could have said, but, and made their list of excuses. Don't we make excuses? The prophets said, you need to go back to work. And what'd they do? Says in verse 2, then they rose up and they began to build in chapter 5 and verse 2. So the work ceased, the prophet spoke. You know that we're in our situation, we hear from God through the prophets. Amen? You hear from God through the Bible, God speaks, and we go to work. Enemy says, we can't have this. We're going to write another letter to the king. Go ahead. Let's see what they find out. And then we come to chapter 6, and the king gives his reply. Now, this is important to understand. It didn't go like this. It did not go, the enemy tries to stop them, they stop, God removes the enemy, they start again. It didn't go that way. The way it went was, the enemy tried to stop them, they stopped, God spoke, they started up again, the enemy tried to stop them again, and then God defeated the enemy. Okay, let me make that even simpler for you and me. We're not waiting until the obstacles go away. We just go forward. Then God removes the obstacle. You see what I'm saying? Do you remember when Israel was getting ready to cross the Jordan River? And the Jordan River was at flood stage. Good to see you. Come on in. Jordan River was at flood stage. And so they were told, put your feet in the water. Then the water began to pile up. Folks, the rest of the story in Ezra is not as happy as this, but this is a good message. And I'm just going to show you some exciting things. I can't read all this for the sake of time. But let's read a little bit here. I'll let you remain seated because it might get a little bit long. Look at chapter 6. Now remember in chapter 5, they wrote this letter to the king. And if you read that letter, you can sort of hear Tatnai and Shethar-Boznai and the other guys. You can almost hear the pride dripping off. We're going to stop these Jews. The king's going to be on our side. And so they send the letter off to the king, and they're pretty confident that they've got that the king's going to say no. And then verse 1 of chapter 6, then Darius, now remember a couple of years have gone by, the king has changed, and so anyway, then Darius the king made a decree. And search was made in the house of the rolls, where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. And there was found at Akmetha in the palace, that is in the province of the Medes, a roll, and therein was a record thus written, and here's what it says. In the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus the king made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem, let the house be builded, the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations thereof be strongly laid, the height thereof 70 cubits, that is about, 90 feet, and the breadth thereof 70 cubits, with 3 rows of great stones and a row of new timber, and let the expenses be given out of the king's house. And also let the golden and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple, which is at Jerusalem, and brought into Babylon, be restored, and brought again unto the temple, which is at Jerusalem. Every one to his place, and place them in the house of God. Now, this guy, I got to keep reading. This is so good. Now, verse 6. Now, therefore, Tatnai, governor beyond the river, Shethar-Boznai, and your companions, the Apharsachites, which are beyond the river, be ye far from thence. In other words, stay out of the way. Let the work of this house of God alone, verse 7. Let the governors of the Jews, the elders of the Jews, build this house of God in his place. Moreover, I make a decree what ye shall do to the elders of the Jews for the building of this house of God, that of the king's goods, even of the tribute beyond the river, forthwith expenses be given unto these men, that they be not hindered. And that which they have need of, both young bullocks and rams and lambs for burnt offerings of the God of heaven, wheat, salt, wine, and oil, according to the appointment of the priests, which are at Jerusalem, let it be given them day by day, without fail, that they may offer sacrifices of sweet savors unto the God of heaven and pray for the life of the king and of his sons. Well, it gets even better. Also, he says in verse 11, I have made a decree that whosoever shall alter this word, let timber be pulled down from his house, and being set up, let him be hanged thereon, and let his house be made a dunghill for this. And the God that hath caused his name to dwell there, destroy all kings and people that shall put to their hand to alter and to destroy this house of God, which is at Jerusalem. I, Darius, have made a decree, let it be done with speed. Oh, what a letter. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you've given us this exciting passage, and we can see here what you did for Israel, but you do the same thing for us. And Lord, what comes first is our faith, and our faith keeps us going even though there are obstacles. And then you can step in, and you sometimes often step in ways that just astound us in how good you are. Help us to appreciate that tonight and just learn that lesson and apply it in our lives. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This is good. I like this. If you've ever been in court and heard the judge say, the church is right. That feels good. Some of my happiest days are walking out of court when the judge said, the church is right. And I'm not going to tell you those stories again, but it's happened to me 2 or 3 times. I'm seeing pictures in my mind of people and places. But doesn't God do that? It all comes from God. Has God been in control the entire time? Doesn't it feel good when you see God reward you for believing what he said? That's what this is. The prophet spoke, and they went back to work in spite of the enemy. And the enemy says, oh, we're going to stop you now. We're going to write this letter to the king. And we just read the result. And not only did the king say, leave him alone, the king says, give them expenses. And if you do anything to hinder the work, you're in big trouble. And the happiness that you can imagine these folks felt when they heard this letter. Folks, here's what's going to happen. You know right now what God wants. I think most of us do. And you say, well, Pastor, there's some details I'm kind of gray, kind of unsure about. But just some things, folks. You know God wants us to worship him in church. You know God wants us to witness for him outside the church. You know God wants us to send out missionaries. You know God wants us to be faithful. You know God wants us to you know what God wants us to do. And you know how God wants you to live your life. what should be important to you and where you should exert your energy. And if you serve God the way you should and you face terrible resistance, horrible obstacles, trials that you don't think you can overcome, I just want you to know you're not going to be the first person to do that. Joseph experienced that. Daniel experienced that. We think of the things that they said, no, Daniel, you cannot pray. And he prayed anyway because he knew God's will. Well, we're going to fix that. We're going to throw you in a lion's den. Okay. Did it do anything? No. In fact, Daniel got to spend the night warm with the cats. The next day, he got out. They threw the enemies in, and the cats ate him just like that. I used the title for the purpose of the posting on the internet, a vindication. Vindication is just when you're proved right. When someone says, yes, you're right. When you step into eternity, you know right now what God wants. And you can see the obstacles trying to stop you from doing what God wants, can't you? But you say, I'm going to do what God wants anyway. Can you imagine how good it's going to feel to step into eternity and know God is pleased with your faith that kept you going when everything tried to stop you? But folks, I learned something a long time ago. You don't have to wait until eternity to see God reward you. You don't have to wait till eternity to see God judge what's wrong. God judges in this life and He rewards in this life. If it was just eternity, then that'd be one thing. That's good enough, but this is even better. Let's just look at a few high spots here. I think you get the point. The Jews were right. Cyrus did decree the temple to be built. Folks, you were right. God said, here's what I want you to do, and you knew it, and you did it. That feels good. You knew you were right, even though everybody else said you were wrong. But now, vindication. God says, you're right. The king says, yep, the decree was made. Specifications were given in verse 4. The king mentions that. The king's going to pay for it in verse 4. Leave it alone in verse 6 and 7. Pay the bills in verse 8. Supply their needs in verse 9 and 10. If you don't, I'm going to tear your house down and hang you on it in verse 11. And a curse from God upon anyone that opposes the house in verse 12. Now, if they had known this back in chapter 4, when the work ceased, I think they'd have kept going. See, you and I have an advantage. We've got the whole Bible. And we can see that any time in the Bible somebody was faithful to God, God was faithful to them. You'll say, well, what about? I don't know about. I just know when we're faithful to God, God's faithful to us. It's amazing. Why shouldn't the work continue? The writing is on our side, isn't it? The Bible says do it. The king is on our side. Now, I don't know about the king. You know, you think of the president as a leader. Okay, he's got an opinion and he's got some authority. But I know a king more important than him. And that king says, keep on going. And that king has a way of opening doors with the king down here, if necessary. The enemy, in this case, has been subdued. Stay away. Leave them alone. Provide their needs. If you don't, you're going to be punished. But you know what's most important? Look at verse 12. God has caused His name to dwell there. He's on our side. Amen? You know, this is easy now that you see the king's writing. Yeah, we were right all along. Oh, I knew this was going to happen, somebody said. I knew the king was going to be on our side. No, you didn't. You know, I've sat there in the courtroom and listened to the judge and thought, oh boy, I'm not sure how this is going. And judges have a way of making it sound like they really haven't decided yet when they have. But I sure like it in the end when they say, not guilty. And they say, case dismissed. The plaintiff is wrong and the defendant is correct. The church is right. Folks, we're right. When you step before the Lord one day, if you were faithful in spite of the obstacles, He's going to say, you were right. Amen. That sure is going to feel good. to the enemies that have tried to stop you. He's going to say, you were wrong. Leave it alone. Stay away. It just feels good when God does that. Just a couple of quick thoughts and we'll be done here. Sure does feel good when you're right. You knew you were right. Because you knew way back in chapters 1 and 2, God said, here's what I want. You know, once we hear what God said, let's just keep on going. Let's not wait and see what circumstances come up or what enemies arise. Now again, it's really easy to say what I'm saying when the victory is already in place. But when the enemy is being obnoxious and we're waiting on the letter from the king to come back and there's all sorts of obstacles, do you still have faith? Hope so. Ought to. You know you're right. You know what God wants. You know God's on your side. None of this surprises us. You see, the thing is, they weren't worried about whether they were right. They were worried about the outcome. Who controls the outcome? God. So we shouldn't worry about the outcome. We should just worry about doing what God said. And then you're going to have these kind of days. You know, we have the Bible. This has the king's decree in it. The King of Heaven. It gives us marching orders. It tells us where to go, what to do, how to do it, how long to do it, what not to do. It's all right here. You know what it says. You may not know every word in it, but you know what God wants. Somebody says, well, you can't do that. I don't know what can't is. I know God said do it. You step into eternity, you're going to realize that you had permission all along. And you had commands all along which should have been obeyed. And anything that deviates from that is out of order. We make excuses. Oh, I couldn't be there because. Oh, I needed to work. Oh, I needed to. I had to. I couldn't. Folks, that's the same mistake the Jews made. Oh, there's just too much opposition. Let's just stop and build our house. Wouldn't we feel really foolish if we spent a great deal of our life building our house? For who? For what? It's not going to last. If you want to lay up treasure, lay it up in heaven. Amen? That's a place to build a house. Dot, dot, down here. Nothing changed between Ezra 4:24 and Ezra 6 as far as God's concerned. Nothing had changed. They knew God's will all along. All that had changed now is they just get to see some people like King Darius see what the truth was already. Don't wait for the world or for the enemy to approve of what you're doing. Just keep on doing it. Amen? That's what's happened here. And then that's when God will give you that vindication. We have the official word. We have nothing to wait on. You're sitting there and you're saying, well, I wonder how things are going to work out. I wonder what the circumstances are going to turn into. I wonder if this is going to get worse. And then we start playing the horrible little game called what if. Well, what if this goes wrong? Well, what if that goes wrong? Well, what if that happens? Well, what if this happens? That's just the devil sowing doubt. Amen? Just keep on going. We will never know the great blessings of God if we quit. We will never hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, unless we're faithful. Unless something is well done. Amen? You never, ever should have been so naive as to think that the devil wouldn't try to stop you. And you should have understood that the devil, like a roaring lion, pretty vicious, powerful, capable of causing a great deal of havoc if it wasn't for God stopping him. You saw, if nothing else comes out of the book of Job, you saw what Satan can do when God steps back and lets him do what he wants to. We should have never been so naive as to think there wasn't going to be resistance, but we should never have been so naive as to think that we could stop when God said go. Amen? Let's not stop. I suspect, just like the Israelites in Ezra chapter 6, there are going to be some chapters in your life and mine and in our church where we're just going to see God say, good job, enemy, get out of the way, keep on going. It won't always be that way. But one thing that doesn't change is this. Whether it's easy or whether it's hard, it's still God's will. And if you don't learn anything else from the book of Ezra, learn this lesson. Even though the enemy appears to be what stops you, what's really stopping you is your lack of faith in God. And to turn that another direction and say it this way, if you stop, it's not God's fault. It's not the enemy's fault. It's our fault. But aren't you glad you haven't stopped? Amen. And then God comes along and says, clear all that path out and let's go. That's what happened right here. Let's all stand and pray.